Well, thanks very much, Ian. And ladies and gentlemen, can I firstly thank the Committee for Economic Development Australia for the opportunity to present here this afternoon. I see many people, many organisations in the audience I've had the opportunity of working with in the relatively short period of time. But, Philip, I've got nothing on you, so can I... the relatively short time that I've been Victorian Minister for Water. But I simply wanted to say it's a very exciting and fascinating time to be involved in water policy in Australia, and I'm pleased this afternoon to have this opportunity to present to you on some of the things that the Victorian Government is doing to safeguard urban water supplies here in this state. Philip, can I say welcome to Melbourne? You're welcome any time to come to the great state of Victoria. You're welcome to come at any time, and I'm looking forward to hearing your remarks shortly on New South Wales' plans to tackle some of the same challenges that we're tackling south of the border here in Victoria. I'd like to start by quoting Mark Twain. It was Mark Twain who said, "Everybody complains about the weather, but no one does anything about it." And here in Australia, now after 12 years of the most protracted and profound drought that we've seen certainly in southeast Australia's experience over the period of European settlement, and of course we face also the dangers now of climate change, the challenge and the opportunity of climate change in responding to a future with less rainfall, less predictable patterns of rainfall, and of course the reality of dealing with more unpredictable climactic events and the impact that that will have on inflows into our river systems and storages. And so I like to start with this graph here. This graph shows the inflows into Melbourne storages over the last 100 or so years. And what you can see is that whilst the inflows have always jumped around a bit, over the last 10 to 15 years, we have seen a stepped decrease in inflows into Melbourne storages. There is no doubt about it, a stepped decrease into inflows into Melbourne storages. And if you can see the red bar there that represents 2006, 165 gigalitres of water came into our storages in 2006 against a long-term average inflow from 1913 to 2005 of 588 gigalitres, or 588 billion litres. So if you're under any illusion as to, firstly, the challenges that we face because of the step decrease in inflows into our storages, or more particularly, the particular challenges that 2006 presented to us, where the government had to change substantially the plans and the policies that we'd put in place, I think that graph puts it in stark relief. We face a step decrease, and at the same time, we face the reality of a disastrous 2006, which further depleted our already pressured storages and reservoirs. And what we're also seeing is that even in this winter, where we've had about our average rainfalls, in this winter we received 98% of Melbourne's average rainfalls, we received only 60% of the inflows into our storages. So drier catchments, catchments where the behaviour is changing, is meaning that even in times where we get what are reasonably good rainfall patterns, we're not seeing that reflected in the yields being generated from our storages and our reservoirs. A real challenge and a real challenge for the future. And the importance of this really is underscored in the debate about dams. There are many people in Victoria, many people in other parts of Australia, I'm sure too, who continue to say governments can fix this problem by building more dams and storages, by building more reservoirs. The Victorian Government has made it clear that we do not believe that building more storages, certainly for Melbourne, is the way to provide greater water security. And this graph shows why. The blue shaded area shows the storage, the actual water in our storages. The black line shows the annual demand on those storages, and the yellow background shows the storage capacity. And what that shows is that Melbourne, with its 9 major storages, reservoirs and dams, does not want for storage capacity at the moment. We don't want for a lack of storage. What we don't have is water in those storages. And building yet more dams and reservoirs and waiting for them to fill, when as of today they're sitting at 34.2 or 3%, is not a way of providing greater water security for Melbourne. It's not a way of providing greater water security for Victorians, and it will not wean us off our traditional reliance on water falling from the sky as our principal source of water. So that's why the Victorian government, in responding to this challenge, looked radically and looked across the full raft of options in preparing our response. And in 2007, we released the next stage of the government's water plan, and it has five key components. The first is the construction of a desalination plant, important because it is a non-rainfall-dependent source of water. Secondly, modernising irrigation infrastructure. Now, you might wonder why I would mention modernising irrigation infrastructure in a presentation about responding to the challenges of urban water supply. The reason why is because our irrigation system uses the vast majority of water that is used and consumed here in Victoria, and it also loses vast sums of water. And it loses vast sums because the infrastructure that our irrigators and farmers are forced to rely on is outdated, outmoded and inefficient. In average years, it loses something like 800 to 900 billion litres of water in the Goulburn-Murray irrigation area. Even in dry years, like the average for the last 10 to 15 years, the losses have averaged around 700 billion litres of water per annum. That is twice Melbourne's annual water use being lost in the irrigation systems at the moment. The only way we can capture that water is spending large amounts of money on investing in irrigation upgrades. The money that is required to be spent is far beyond the capacity of the farmers and the irrigators who live in that system and rely upon it. Therefore, it requires financial input from urban communities, and therefore the water savings from those investments can be shared. Shared with farmers to provide them with greater water security, shared with the environment to provide water for stressed rivers such as the Murray, and shared with urban communities such as Melbourne. We've also said that we'll expand Victoria's water grid, connecting the state in a statewide grid of pipelines. I'll say more about that when I come to it, because less has been written about that than perhaps should have been. But that is actually, I think, in the long term, the most exciting part of the changes that are occurring in Victoria's water management practices at the moment. Increasing recycling. People think because Melbourne doesn't propose, or Victoria doesn't propose, to drink recycled water, that therefore we're not doing any water recycling projects. The truth is that we have some very substantial recycling projects that will result in us being able to free up potable water that is currently being used for non-potable uses, and that is a far more cost-efficient way and effective way of managing that scarce resource. And of course, our conservation efforts. Just starting with desalination. Desalination, as I said, is a non-rainfall dependent source of water. We will build Australia's largest desalination plant, 150 billion litres of water per annum, scalable to 200 billion litres if we deem that that's required sometime in the future. It is scheduled to deliver water by late 2011. We've completed an expressions of interest process. Those have now closed on the 24th of July. We received 8 substantive expressions of interest. We've released an environmental effects statement, one of the most comprehensive environmental effects statements in Victorian history. It is currently out on public exhibition, and an independent panel will assess the appropriateness and effectiveness of that EES. It's a massive project, a huge project, marine structures to provide inlet and outlet pipes, the desalination process itself, a reverse osmosis plant that would be built in the Bass Coast region near Wonthaggi, a transfer pipeline to transfer the desalinated water into Melbourne's supplies, and of course an electricity source, or a power source, of which electricity is one option, a power source to provide a reliable source of power for that plant. This is an important project because not only will it provide a non-rainfall dependent source of water to Melbourne, but because of the water grid and the other possibilities that we're investing in the system, it can also supply water to urban communities in Geelong, as well as communities in Western Port and South Gippsland. I mentioned the irrigation upgrades in the states north. These are very important projects. We know that savings can be made by investing in upgrades. We know that we can share those savings. And with the investment being made by the Commonwealth Government, up to $1 billion in Stage 2, we now know that we can capture 425 billion litres in savings. Those early works have already commenced, 1,000 automated gates installed, new metering systems, the lining of channels. This is a clapped-out system that is well past its use-by date. It is losing water hand over fist. It operates at 70% capacity at the moment, which means that for every 100 litres of water you put down the system, 70 litres gets used and consumed on something constructive. The other 30 litres is lost. And we know from our experiences in places like Collyamberley, the Murrumbidgee in New South Wales, and in the McAllister Irrigation District in this state's east, we can get that system to something like 85% plus efficiency. Those savings can be shared. And that is a very important project, the centrepiece really in the terms of the volume of water, the centrepiece of Victoria's water strategy. How do we get Melbourne's share of those savings to Melbourne? We build the Sugarloaf pipeline, and we commenced construction of this pipeline yesterday, a $750 million investment by Melbourne Water, and an investment that I might add the coalition in Victoria announced yesterday that they would decommission if they were elected to government in 2010. So we have the ridiculous situation now of $750 million being invested by Melbourne Water in a piece of infrastructure. Melbourne Water users contributing $300 million to the upgrade of irrigation systems in the state's north with an expectation that the savings will be shared. In other words, over $1 billion in investment by Melbourne Water consumers, by households and businesses in Melbourne, with the opposition now in Victoria making it clear that if elected to government they will decommission the pipeline. We've gained state, obviously, and Commonwealth approvals. The Commonwealth approvals were obtained last week and the construction has commenced for that. The Goldfield Superpipe, this is a pipeline that's providing water security for Bendigo and Ballarat, completed under budget, ahead of schedule, a great project. Those communities are on stage 4 water restrictions, stressed communities from a water perspective, but growing communities that need water security if investment and employment is to continue to grow there. That project, with Commonwealth assistance, has now been completed, providing a very important link in the statewide water grid that I mentioned at the start of my remarks. In kilometre terms, the biggest water project in Australia is the Wimmera-Mallee pipeline. 9,000 kilometres of pipelines and channels being turned into pipelines, a massive project. 8,800 kilometres of pipeline, sorry, I exaggerated. 103 billion litres of water savings. So this was a system that operated, I said before that the Goulburn-Murray irrigation system operated at 70% capacity. This system operated at 10% efficiency. In other words, for every 100 litres you put down the channel system, only 10 litres actually found its way to some sort of productive use. The other 90 litres were wasted. It was unsustainable, particularly in communities that had been facing protracted drought, and so through this investment we'll be able to return some of that water to stressed river systems. Other pipelines for urban communities, the Hamilton-Grampians pipeline will provide water security for the township of Hamilton, connecting them to the Rocklands Reservoir. The Melbourne pipeline, Melbourne-Geelong pipeline I mentioned earlier, this connects Geelong to Melbourne's water augmentations. So the community of Geelong, only a few kilometres down the road from us, which at the moment is on stage 4 water restrictions, will be able to benefit not only from its own water augmentations, but from new projects like desalination and the Sugarloaf pipeline, the investment in irrigation upgrades. Very important projects. That's proposed to connect the state in a statewide water grid, which will enable us to transfer water to where it is needed most. This is a very important project because these projects collectively will enable us to manage our scarce water resources in a sensible and sustainable way. It will enable us to transfer water around the state. It is the first step in being able to seriously create urban water markets. If you can't transfer water in a sensible and efficient way, then the ability to create urban water markets is diminished. At the same time, we're committed to increasing recycling. In fact, Melbourne is, in major city terms in Australia, the best city in terms of its performance in water recycling. We set ourselves the goal of recycling 20% of our water by 2010. We've met that goal and exceeded it. It was 3% when we came to office. 3% of our water was being recycled. It's now over 20%, and we still have to come on stream the upgrade to the Eastern Treatment Plant. It'll produce something like 100 gigalitres of water, Class A recycled water. We're looking now at a business case as to how that water will be used, either in the Latrobe Valley to substitute potable water that's used for cooling our power stations or to substitute environmental flows into the Yarra River. And conservation continues to be an important part of our plan. We've reduced Melbourne's per capita water use over the last 7 years to the lowest it's been since the 1930s. We've reduced our total water use, to what it was in the early 1980s. This is now with a city supporting over a million more people using about the same water that we were using at the height of the drought in the 1980s, in the early 1980s. It's an incredible achievement, and it's been achieved because we've seen water savings devices installed in homes. We've seen industry coming to the party to play its bit. Companies like Kraft, Philip Morris were just talking to before, mentioned to me they've been able to halve their water use at their Moorabbin plant over the last 3 years by investing in new manufacturing processes. We're seeing industry, we're seeing consumers, households reducing their water use in lots of different ways by the investments that the state government is either supporting, our water retailers supporting, or companies through their water map process. So we've seen very substantial reductions, and that has really helped us get through this very difficult period. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for the opportunity to present this afternoon. You can see the five key elements: desalination, upgrading irrigation and sharing, and sharing the benefits that come from it, a statewide water grid, substantial water recycling projects and conservation, which has reduced our demand on the system. This is the best way of providing water security for Victorians, for urban communities in the decades ahead. It will underpin investment and population growth in our state, and it's a real vote of confidence in our ability to respond to the challenges of drought and climate change. Thank you very much.